I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
WL. A couple of things I wanted to talk about this morning. I brought up this issue about NDAs a while back, and that I thought this was going to get us on a slippery slope, and it obviously didn't take too long. Because we've had this most recent revelation relative to Senator Jay Morris up in Richland Parish having to deal with the Meta project. Now, I understand that private corporations to private corporations, that they sign these NDAs, they don't want people leveraging against their plans, kind of giving them the inside skinny as to what's going on, what they propose, that they could possibly go and accumulate parcels of land and other things and try and squeeze as much as they can out of that. Where I really have a problem is when we have public officials signing these NDAs, because the public officials bring with them the authority for a whole lot of things to happen, including votes on key pieces of legislation and things of that nature, and they never disclosing or going to the ethics board to see whether or not they will run violative of the ethics laws in the state of Louisiana. And we know that a number of the ethics laws have been watered down, not nearly as proactive as they once were in many respects. In other respects, I understand that they're very proactive. So I'm not sure exactly what their focus is at the present time, but just the optics don't look good. And then you start getting a series of articles and a series of questions about timing. Right? About when were these NDAs signed? When did you start accumulating parcels of land around a site-specific project that goes on? And whether or not you are in an advantageous position as opposed to all others? And that's the issue. The issue is simply insider trading. For the most part, everybody's all up in arms about what's going on in Congress. People roll into Congress worth about $1 million. And after about two terms, 4 years in the House of Representatives, you go look at their financial disclosure and all of a sudden they're worth $9 million. What? How'd that happen? Well, all of it is based on a stock portfolio. And what's interesting when you dig deeper with some of these Congress folks, they were never investing in the stock market prior to getting to Washington, D.C. So obviously there's a scheme that works up there that everybody gets educated on as to how you can end up better supporting yourself, because it's a huge sacrifice to go serve in Congress. And anybody that doesn't believe that doesn't really understand how this whole thing works. If you're wealthy, it's easy. If you're not, it's very difficult. So, I mean, I kind of understand what's happening here. People are trying to make ends meet. They got kids to educate. They made the decision to run up there. I actually looked at it at one time and realized I didn't want to be a part of that farce. You know, I didn't want to have to schedule my vacations around scheduling a fundraiser in Orlando in order to be able to take my kids to Disney. I didn't like that. It didn't seem right to me. Kind of felt icky, you know, and I decided I gave that notion up of ever serving in Congress as a result thereof. It's a crappy lifestyle. It doesn't make any sense. But all of these things, the optics tend to look really bad, right? I don't know if there's anything illegal went on, and I don't know that there's anything unethical that went on. But the reality is that these things, they have timing considerations, they've got leveraging considerations, you're signing these NDAs, and then you're sitting in judgment on programs. And maybe you're just voting along with the majority of other folks, and maybe it's the most well-intentioned vote that ever existed in the history of the world. It doesn't really matter. Because the question is transparency for the public. It's to let the public know, hey, I want you to know that this may work to my financial advantage. And therefore, I am going to recuse myself. I don't understand what the big fear is as it relates to the recusal. I guess it's I don't have the power of the leverage any longer. But, I mean, you know, it's really interesting when I look at Senator Jay Morris's comments out here. You know, when he says we're talking about the project, yeah, there are going to be people pro and people con. I get it. I mean, we have to engage in projects. We have to move forward. Economic development is going to be the key from the city, I mean, the state, excuse me, coming out of the bottom of all these ratings and rankings and poverty and this, that, and everything else. Without it, we're going nowhere fast. So I get that there's this balance of interest. But there should be a balance of concern as well as to what the reputation is going to be here. And right now, as a result of Senator Morris's actions, it seems as though our reputation has been impugned a little bit here in the state of Louisiana. And it didn't have to be. I mean, if you are as adamant as you are right now that you have nothing to fear, you've done nothing wrong, then why on the front end, why don't you make the disclosure? Hey, I could be the ultimate financial beneficiary of these decisions. I think it's best that I just recuse myself. The question to Senator Morris is, what do you fear? Why is that such a big sacrifice for you to make? In my view, it's not a sacrifice at all. But I would love to hear what he has to say about this. He defends it by saying there are a lot of complainers, and a lot of complainers are from out of state. Yeah, that may be true. So what? But the people in our area are generally happy. That may be true, too. And he argued that the project's benefits include new high-paying jobs, an increased tax base, and money pouring into the education system. All of that is true. But what does that have to do with you being transparent? I mean, that's the interesting thing about this. Is we're going to attack the individuals that are talking about whether or not he engaged in the appropriate way of handling this business. A lot of these pieces of property that were owned by him had been purchased many, many years before this project was ever discussed. However, there were others that were not. And it's clear that there was some information, whether it was public at that time or not. He said it was. No one really knows. I guess people are looking at it right now to see. But this is the point. Why should we have to waste and go through this exercise? The LED, the Louisiana Economic Development Agency, is on the defensive. The administration makes no apologies for bringing diverse partners together to drive the outcomes and opportunities our state has so long deserved. Okay, I don't know that anybody's complaining about that. What they're complaining about is you have a Louisiana senator who signed an NDA because he has some personal interest in a transaction with others. It's okay in his personal capacity, but it has an impact on his public capacity as a Louisiana senator.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
And there should be some downstream implications the same. That's all anybody's saying. Nobody's attacking the project. Well, now there are people attacking the project, but I'm not listening to them. We got to keep our house in order. And if we want this, you know, and I'm not trying to say that I'm some genius. I made this prediction. When the first story started coming out about these NDAs, I said, oh, this is going to be a slippery slope. This is ultimately going to be a problem. Whether you sign the NDA in your personal capacity, but you're a publicly elected official, or you're signing it as a publicly elected official, it's going to have a slippery slope. And the other part of the slippery slope is that there are a lot of people that believe, and I think I'm right on this, the ethics board can go look at this, I think, on their own volition. I hope they didn't change that they actually need a complaint. Maybe they have, because Senator Morris points out, well, if everything I did was so bad and so horrible and just so tragic, why hasn't anybody filed a complaint with the ethics board. I don't know. We'll see. One of the members of the ethics board points out that I see all kinds of potential pitfalls here. Doesn't mean he did anything wrong. It doesn't mean he's run violative of the state ethics code. But what it does mean is that it doesn't look good. There's a little smoke there. So should we go check it out to see if there's fire? We'll see. We'll see how this happens. In fact, if I was Senator Morris, I would be begging them to do so. Because if he's as adamant as he is about, yeah, I've got nothing to hide, I've done nothing wrong, I didn't talk to this one, I didn't talk to that one. He recanted a little bit of a story of talking to a PSC commissioner, right, about something. Then the commissioner says, oh, no, we had a conversation about it. I didn't find anything remarkable about the conversation. Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, why not just be more forthright? Say, I talked to this one, I talked to that one, I talked to that one, and I talked to that one. If there's a problem, let me know. It's not like this whole thing is going to blow up and go away. But what it does do, when it's gone down the track that it's going down right now, as a level of cynicism and skepticism of any future deals, and you mentioned the three letters, NDAs, and public officials, guess what? The public is going to pause. And that's not a good thing for us. We have to be very aggressive in going out there, fighting for the business, because all the other states are fighting for that business. We're in a competition business. I get it. Sometimes, this balance of these interests that we talked about, get all of that. But when we have opportunities to step up, be forthright, and overcome all of this by making these public disclosures and just saying, I'm going to recuse myself because I could potentially be the beneficiary of a few dollars my way as a result of some real estate deals that I made with partners. You know, okay, it's not going to stop this from going forward. You're just going to have to divest yourself of it financially. And if you don't like that, then give up being senator. I mean, you can't have it both ways. It doesn't work that way. I mean, if that's not what you want to do, then to resign from office. Let somebody else be the Louisiana senator. But don't create this aura and this landscape that there's potentially something going wrong. And the other problem is we're dragging other companies that work really hard to maintain their reputation, through the mud, because you just don't want to make these simple disclosures. And it very well may be that all of these properties were strategically located. It sounds like that to me. Good, sound real estate investments, but not if you have insider information that you acted upon. And then you go and you cast these votes to ensure the success of this project coming to fruition. I mean, if we don't see that, then maybe we don't even deserve to be a senator. I mean, it's just interesting, these responses that are put forward. You know, like one of his partners says, well, Senator Morris never involved himself in any negotiations with Meta. So what? That's not the issue. The issue is the votes, not whether or not he talked to them directly. He's not an idiot. He knows how this was going to benefit them. And he knows if the project goes forward because of the properties that he, along with the individual that made this comment, his partners, put out capital to assemble pieces of land based on where this site-specific project was going to take place. I mean, stop with the wordsmithing. Stop with trying to spin this as though this is the most upfront, solid moral compass decision ever made by you individuals as real estate developers. Really? Nobody believes that. No one believes it. So stop talking about all the things that he didn't do, and let's just focus on what he did. And let's get to the bottom of it to see whether or not there's a way to avoid getting this black eye and ruining the reputation of not only the state, but solid, incredible companies. They do this in the private sector, but when you start mixing public and private, things get a little dicey. And I don't know why we just can't come to a resolution real quick on this and say, you know, this is part of the problem. And it wasn't until after all of this broke that we started finding out about NDAs. Now, they may have been in his personal capacity. I get it. But the problem is that if you're ultimately going to end up voting on issues that are going to inure to the benefit of the project in its totality or subunits of it or this or that, there's a problem. Doesn't mean it's wrong, doesn't mean it's illegal, doesn't mean it's unethical, but there's an appearance there that needs to be dealt with. And guess what the downstream implications would be if you had disclosed and everybody looked at it and said, no issues, nothing to worry about. Oh, my God. Think of the momentum that flows from that for the next project. I think we got two or three of these that we're working on at the present time. Hopefully, we're going to do more due diligence on all of this stuff and think long and hard about the potential ramifications of asking public officials to sign NDAs in moving forward. Maybe the NDAs have to include that if you end up having to vote on a piece of legislation relative to this project, you must recuse yourself. Because if you're empowered with the information, right, by virtue of the NDA, because that's what it is. The companies that are asking for the NDAs want to protect the information. I get it. I've signed those in personal capacities in other situations. I understand totally. As a person and a lawyer, I got it. It's not a big issue. But when we're starting to do this, maybe we'd say, hey, look, if you're going to have to cast a vote, you have to recuse yourself. You have to recuse yourself, plain and simple. Because we don't need this additional scrutiny on us as a result of you holding this information. Because as it stands right now, I would venture to say that if you stop 10 people on the street, you gave them the facts as outlined in the news articles. This one was posted in L.A. Illuminator. They're going to tell you, in my view, 8 out of 10 are going to say, I don't like this. This does not pass the smell test. And when you have 80% of the people saying it doesn't pass the smell test, just my opinion, you should probably rethink and reformulate. Go back to the table and develop a strategy to deal with this issue. It's not that hard. And again, if you got nothing to hide, then what do you fear? We'll be right back.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.